Westminster Abbey of Faith. The Hall of Faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance that you're looking for. Because the Bible says in the book of Romans that without faith it is impossible. Or it says here, without faith it's impossible to please God. And it says in the book of Romans, whatever is not of faith is hamartia, missing the mark, sin. Now faith is not the fog of the ideology or the philosophy or the myth or the excuse for reason, but it is the substance. It's a substance. Substance comes from two words, sub and stance. Sub means under, and stance means to stand. Faith is that which stands under things hoped for. For just hoping without faith is hope against hope. Just hoping is, there's nothing to it. But faith is predicated upon reason. And faith in God is predicated upon the greatest reason that there is, God. And the only thing that is sure, in whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. The one who created all things, so he ought to know how to do things, if he created all things. And the one who ought to know all things, since he created all things, and holds the world and all power in his hands. It's the evidence. Evidence means proof. Faith is proof. Do you ever see a person with a faith? My, he's dogmatic. I'm healed. Well, now, wait a minute, brother. You haven't been checked yet. No, I know I am. What do you mean? You think. No, I know I am. Man, the dogmatic. Because it's proof. And proof is dogmatic. It's evidence. It's substance. You can stand on it. It'll stand under hope. It's the evidence of things not seen. It will change your configuration of your mouth from down to up. It'll make your step livelier. It'll change your attitude. It'll send the strings of your heart playing. I gave the crude illustration several times, a number of years ago, and I haven't taken the pains to replace it with another one. But it's been a long time, and a lot of new ones are around, so maybe you won't mind if I give the home illustration again. It just seemed to work real good. I gave the illustration of a 14-year-old boy who didn't have a bicycle. That wouldn't be quite so bad if it weren't for the fact that everybody else in the neighborhood had bicycles. And they were all riding bicycles, and Johnny was walking. And he was unhappy, because all the rest of them rode in circles around, you know, as he walked. You know how it is. And he walked. And he asked for a bicycle. And his father said to him, Johnny, next Friday is your birthday, and I'm going to take you down to the bicycle shop, and you can have any bike in the shop. Now, his friends, when he came out of the house, his friends noticed an immediate change in Johnny. He no longer was doing this and sour face as the rest rode, hanging on the back of the bike so they wouldn't drive away. He came out and he was skipping. He was smiling. He's light. What happened? What's the matter, Johnny? What happened? I'm going to get a bicycle. Well, now, don't be too fast about this. I mean, all these years you've never got a bicycle. Let's be reasonable, you see. You mean you think you might get a bicycle? No, I'm going to get one. My daddy said so. Well, what are you so happy about? You don't have a bicycle now. Yesterday you were walking and you were sad. Today you're walking and you're glad. But you're still walking. But it makes all the difference. It doesn't seem to make any difference anymore. His spirit is riding, you see. If we can just appropriate faith, our spirits will be riding even though our souls are dragging. And it'll make a difference in your step and your attitude and your smile and how you approach people and things. It'll be a substance that's in your heart and it'll work for you day by day. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now he's talking about the elders of Israel when they came out of Egypt, crossed the Sinai Peninsula, came up to Kadesh Barnea, and they looked over the land, and they said, now God said to go in and take the land. They didn't need any spies to see how what the land was like. Who cares what the land was like? Who cares what kind of armies were there? Who cared how big or high the walls were? It didn't make any difference because God said they were going to take the land, and he told them to go up and take it. But they began to have doubts and fears. Therefore, because they doubted, God changed the order. God said, send up spies to check the land out. One spy to represent each tribe. God told them to send the spies up. Not because he wanted them to go up, but because they feared. Therefore, God was going to test them. Now, God knew what they would see. High-walled cities. Trained armies. But God said to possess it. So God was going to see what would happen. They went up and looked the land over, and they made the way back safely. Imagine, 12 men disguised going up in an enemy's land and taking going over the whole land. That took a little bit of faith right there, a little bit. And they came back. And so, some said, we are not able to take the land. The walls are high. Men are big and well trained. And two said, we are well able. Now, what made the difference? Why should two say we are well able and ten say we cannot possibly? 10 of them were looking with natural eyes. Actually, they brought back a reasonable, rational report as far as the natural eye was concerned and as far as what normally spies were to ascertain and to make a judgment. They were to make a judgment as military men whether their armies could defeat the enemy's armies. And they made a military assessment that was a rational military assessment. We do not have engines of war to break in these walls. We are not equipped. We are not trained. In the natural, we are not able to take all those various armies there. The only one thing they forgot, God never said they were going to do it in their own strength. They were checking them out to see whether by their strength they could do it. So they said, no, we can't. Two of them said, we are well able. Why did they think they were able? Did they figure out their armies could somehow outmaneuver them and find the strategy and somehow do it? Was it good old faith in humanity? No, it wasn't. It said by faith. They didn't have the slightest idea how they were going to do it, but they knew by whom they would do it. They saw no way possible, but they knew that God saw a way possible. And they came back, and they said, we are well able. Well, on what grounds? On the grounds of Yahweh, because he said so. And that's all. And by that, they got a good report, it said. That's the only way they got a good report. They didn't even bother to let what the eyes was sinking in. They didn't even let that bother their judgment. It was not what they saw. They could have all gone up there and got in the hole and spent the whole time sleeping and come back and gave the same report because they weren't going to go by what they saw. They were going by faith what God said. They were dogmatic. They were already decided they were able before they ever saw the land. And by faith they obtained a good report. You've got to be decided on this thing before you ever get out there and even see it or what you're going to do about it or anything else. You've got to get dogmatic about it. You want to get healed or anything else? Be dogmatic about it. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, many people talk about, and rightly so, that he walked with God, and because he walked with God, he was not, for God took him. Now that's fine. But this scripture says more than that. It didn't just say because he walked with God, God took him. It said by faith he was translated. Now how do you figure that one out? By faith he was translated. Now that's kind of preposterous, isn't it? That's why I'm not too positive that those who don't believe in the out translation are going to be translated. By faith, you're translated. You believe in the out translation, then if you believe in it, and you walk with God like he did, by faith you will be translated. And according to your faith, so be it unto you, and the others don't believe it, won't be. That is a possibility. A very good possibility, according to this scripture. He believed God in an age when people... See, Enoch believed God, as I deduce, far above what his age could believe God for or demand. He lived in an age where there wasn't too much light. But Enoch was believing God for everything and walked with God in a way that nobody else knew anything about. He didn't care what anybody else knew or thought or what the station of the time was. He was could have been so far ahead of his time. Where everybody else was, you know, the old flesh and then the lamb sacrifices, he could have moved right on in and walked with God in the Spirit, so to speak. And by faith, he decided to move into God. And God says, this one is too much light, and I'm going to have to take him home. He doesn't fit in that old world any longer. By faith. Some people out here, instead of by faith, walking with, they'll say, I can't make it. I won't. Well, I doubt it. Well, I'm not sure God ever will really perfect me. I mean, you know, I hear you talking about it, maybe some people, but that isn't the kind of faith that's going to get you there. Verse 6. I think if we could understand more about faith, about the substance that it really is, and how it moves the hand of God, if we could understand more about the power that there is in faith and something that's really there, I think we'd be a lot slower about battling faith all the time and declaring the negative. If we can understand the spiritual poison that we pour into us and how we chop our trees of faith down by those assertions of doubt, if we can understand how we bind the Lord by all affirmation of the devil, so to speak, if we can understand how we put the stone to the cave of Lazarus, of a heart, if we could just understand what that doubt is doing and how it opens up the door to Satan to come in and preach to you and subdue you, if we could really open our eyes and see, if we could take a little trip to heaven and know even as we are known and are able to look and see what faith has wrought, what faith is doing, and how the saints overcome him, you see, by their testimony and by faith. If we can understand how faith moves with God and how it works and how it's a real force in this universe and how doubts just turns it off, I think we'd come back and live entirely different. We would put a double keep in our mouth and we would say, I'll never speak another word of doubt again. These words of, I can't. It's so bad. It hurts. It's this way. It's that way. This constant, complaining does not work for your behalf. It's natural, but God is calling us to the supernatural. I don't blame anybody. I groan myself. I don't blame anybody. But brother, we got to do more than just be natural. We're going to have to possess the land and arise to new life, new philosophies in the Lord, new philosophia, love of wisdom. And this love of wisdom, the wisdom is faith. Verse 6. Are we with that? Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark. And here by faith Noah built a great big giant ship the size of a freighter on dry ground when they have never seen rain on the face of the earth. Brother, that takes faith to spend 120 years working at it when there is no rain, but God delivered them by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place that he should, after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. Some people always want to know where they're going. They always want a sign. They want an omen. They want God to reveal ahead of time. Abraham went out by faith. He didn't even know where he was going. God says, Abraham, go. How will I know when I get there? I'll tell you when you get there. Just go. How's it like a job cake? Just go. No. Don't argue. Just go. Well, Lord, give me a map. Show me the place. Give me direction. Send me a sign. Have you ever thought the Lord may not want to give you every milestone ahead of you in your life? He may just say, believe me and go. Well, if I could only see what my ministry would be, if I could only have some prophecy over me, if these elders and pastors would just somehow just get around me and lay hands on me and I get a prophecy so I know, then I could really study in Bible college. But wait a minute. He wants you to live by faith. Believe now that he will do that good thing in you and you will minister out there. Well, just go when he tells you. And he'll let you know when you get there. Just start going. But believe. Verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, Sarah heard the words of the angel of the Lord. You shall have a child. She was far past age to bear a child. She did not say, it cannot be. She laughed with an excitement of faith in her heart. She laughed, and the scripture even tells us that the Lord gave her the laughter. She laughed at the prospect of having a child in past age and said, not in doubt, but in faith. Shall a one past age have a child? One that is old, shall I have a child? And laugh. This is tremendous. That's the kind of laughter. I mean, oh, she was doubting. No, not if you read your Bible carefully. It said God gave her the laughter. And this one says that by faith, because she believed it. That was a holy laughter. That was laughing at the victory. Just like sometimes when the ladies, they've laughed in the spirit and they've missed something. Why? Because it's funny that they have a problem? No, because they already see the answer, because God showed it. God gave the laughter. She laughed in the spirit. Verse 22. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Now here Joseph was down in Egypt. Things were going all right at that time. But Joseph, because of faith that God would bring his people into a land, he said, now, someday when you leave this land and go up to possess the land that God will give you, take my bones out. What makes you think we're going out? This is before Moses' time. This is before ever the time of any oppression in Egypt. But by faith, he believed enough about what God would do that he said, now be sure to take my bones out of Egypt. Given details about something before he even died, for that someday would happen a long time later, because he believed it. And if you believe in the out translation of living on the other side, you'll live it here, and you'll make mention of it, and you'll take care of things to make sure that you'll make it when the time comes. Verse 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He didn't have the slightest idea how he was going to manage to tell Pharaoh that he denied and refused the position as the son of the Pharaoh to inherit all Egypt and to be the next ruler and to go out and to live in those slime pits like he thought he was going to have to and suffer affliction. He didn't know how he was going to take it. And that's quite a job. You know, that's quite something when you're in the palace and you're in a good position, everything's going good, for you say, no, thank you, I'm going to go out in the slime pits and work with a groaning under the whips and just let them whip and beat me. Not many will want to do that. He was willing to pay the price. And it was by faith, because he didn't know how he was going to do it in the natural. All he knew is his heart could not allow him to stay in the palace in luxury when his brethren were out there in that time. Before this, in verse 22, it says, and Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents by faith. Now, they didn't know how they were going to take care of that child. You were not allowed to have a male child in that land. They put that little baby out in the bulrushes and sent him out 3 months old. They didn't know how they were going to take care of him. They didn't know how he was going to grow up in the land of Egypt. There was no way he could grow up at any point of time. You can't keep a baby forever like that. And when he's going to get older, then what are you going to do with him? And when they see him a certain age, they'll know that he was that he should have been killed. How are they going to do it? They didn't know how. But they knew who. And they said, by faith, Lord, we're going to trust you to take care of it. We got to begin operating on faith. After all, they wouldn't even feel the Holy Ghost, and they operated by faith. Because God said so, and that was enough for them. Today, you know, we can say, well, if I can see it, if I get a prophecy, if somebody will lay hands on me, if God will give me a sign. Brother, if God says it, that settles it. You don't need anything but God saying so. That's all. Period. Some of them, like in this case, they believed it even when God didn't say so. Do you know you can claim some things in the Lord of His will? God never said it, you could do that. But by faith, I'm going to say He said it anyway to my heart, and I'm going to do it anyway. So you can have faith in some things, as long as it's in the will of God, whatsoever you ask my name, and faith believing in my will. And you can lay hold of some things that God doesn't have to tell you at all. You can have faith in them, and it will come to pass. And in chapter 12 and verse 1, I'm about done. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight, every doubt, every fear, every I can't, and the sin which does so easily beset us or entangle us and make it stumble, and let us run with patience the agon, that's the arena, the race in the arena that is set before us. We're in a race, and he wants us to press in. And in verse 18, now he says, concerning that those who lived in ancient days, like Moses went to Mount Sinai, ye are not coming to the mount that might be touched and burned with fire, nor into blackness and darkness and tempest. Then in verse 22, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, the church of the firstborn, which is written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and the spirit of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than of Abel. You see. Have faith in God. If we just take God's word at face value, you know, there are over 30,000 promises in the book. One of them ought to fit you. And just take it and claim it and hold true through to it. In Jesus' name, it's yours. Amen. Praise the Lord.